Good morning. It's good to be able to spend some time with you this morning in the study of God's Word. I hope that we are built up and edified as we come together with the good singing and the opportunity that we've had with the Lord's Supper to remember the Lord's death, and some time now to spend in God's Word encouraging us to be faithful to the Lord. There in the scripture reading of James chapter 5, that Lyndon just had with us, James speaks about an Old Testament character that many of us are very familiar with, and that is Job. And we're going to be looking at his life this morning and what we can learn from that to be faithful to the Lord. And James says that the key there is to understand the patience of Job. When we think of the patience or the endurance of Job, we know that he suffered greatly, and we think about how that he endured through that suffering. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there's some other things involved in endurance. Not just simply making it through the suffering. Endurance also involves choices that we make. Choices that we make with God. Choices that we make with ourselves and with others. Choices that we make with physical possessions that we have and relationships that we have. This morning, I want us to turn back to the book of Job, and I want us to talk about that there was a man named Job. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. Let's consider this morning the greatest of all the children of the East, as he is described in the Word of God. James had talked about trials and tribulations, and that's one of the themes in his book. At the beginning of the book of James, he talks about how that trials and tribulations are to be faced with joy. And in chapter 5 of the book of James, he talks about how that trials and tribulations should be faced with endurance. And he gives the example of the Old Testament prophets. That would be someone like Jeremiah. And then he gives the example in verse 11 of Job. And he says that we're blessed when we endure or when we're patient. Let's look this morning and see what all is involved. We're very familiar with this character. We're very familiar how that Satan caused him to suffer. We're very familiar about the boils that he had on his body from head to toe, and no doubt the great pain that that caused. But this morning we're going to see that Job's endurance involved some other things other than enduring pain. Maybe you have had to endure some pain in your body. I've had to endure some pain. And that is a struggle. But endurance in the story of Job is that plus much more. And let's consider what that is this morning to encourage us to remain faithful to the Lord. I appreciate Curtis leading that song about when the storm passes by. I'm going to mention the word storm at the end of the lesson or toward the end of the lesson. That's really what we have here, a storm in life. And Job is enduring that. And we'll talk about that later. And it's a great song to think about. And I'd forgotten that in that song, Satan is mentioned. So that works well with what we're studying this morning, because that's exactly what he wants. He wants to defeat us when we have difficult times in life. This morning, I want to answer four questions. This morning, I want us to answer the question, who was this man? Number two, what happened to him? Number three, why did this happen to him? And number four, what can we learn from him? Who was this man? Well, in Job chapter 1 and verse 1, we read that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and turned away from evil. I want to suggest to you this morning something that might appear to be very obvious, but it's a good reminder, and that is that Job was a real man. We're not talking about a fictional character. Sometimes when I see a movie that is based upon fiction, sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying the movie or the TV program, but I'm thinking, these people are fictional, I really can't live up to that anyway. But we need to remind ourselves of just a very basic point this morning, that we're talking about a real human being like us. And we can and must be like him. We're not talking about some superhero like you would see on a movie today, some Marvel character or some superhero that has some special powers that we don't have. We're talking about a real ordinary individual. And James says that we need to have the same type of endurance that this individual had. We need to be like him, and we can be like him. It would be good just to begin with the simple fact that he was a real person. He's mentioned twice outside the story of Job or the book of Job. In Ezekiel chapter 14, you may recall that Ezekiel brings him up as a real individual, along with Noah and Daniel as being righteous individuals. And of course, James brings him up in James chapter 5 and verse 11. He's a real individual. He's not a fictional superhero that we can never attain to. We must be like him. We're also told in verse 1 that he was a righteous man. We're told that in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14. We're told that here in chapter 1 verses 1 and following. This man is not only righteous, but he's an individual who is completely interested in worshiping God. And we'll be bringing this in later in the lesson, that one way that we deal with issues in life is we have to be right with God and we have to be here to worship God. We find in verse 2 that there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the children of the East. And his sons went and held a feast in the house of each one upon his day, and they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their fasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, underscore that in your Bible, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. Worship to him was not a drudgery. Worship to him was not something sort of as a leftover situation. I've got other things I need to do throughout the day. I may or may not get to worshiping God. But he did that as early as he could. It was a priority with him. He offered up burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their heart." Thus did Job continually. And you may be asking yourself, well, why is Job offering up sacrifices for his kids? This lets us know that the story takes place in what we call the patriarchal period. This would be somewhere between Adam and Moses, the patriarchal period where the head of the household offered up sacrifices for the family. It lets us know that Job takes place in the patriarchal period. He's a family man. Somebody says, well, I can't, you know, unless you're married with kids, you know, you really don't understand life. Okay, he's married and he's a family man. So he has all of the challenges that go along with marriage and the challenges that go along with raising kids. He's well acquainted with that. He's a wealthy man. Somebody says, well, he doesn't know what it's like to have a lot of material possessions. No, he does. And he knows how to have a proper attitude toward them. He knows about marriage. He knows about raising children. But notice, if you will, in verse 5, thus did Job continually. What made this real man handle his marriage and family properly and handle his wealth properly? It was the fact that God was at the center of his life. And it was continual. He wasn't hot and cold. He wasn't sometime offering up sacrifices and sometime not. He wasn't sometime in the church building and sometime not. He wasn't here only when it was convenient, but when things get a little difficult at home with kids and other work and other kinds of, well, I'm just not going to be here. He wasn't like that. The text says he was continual. And we'll bring that in later in the lesson. Brethren, I simply say all of that to say this. When you look at this individual, it's exactly what's going on in our lives. Many of us are married. Many of us have children. Many of us have material things. We're blessed even greater than many people around the world. Every time I talk with my brethren in Africa or in the Philippines or other places, we have so much you don't even realize what we have. You've got more around you within 10 feet of you at home than many people have in their whole life. But this man was able to handle all of that properly, and then some, as we'll see here in just a minute. So who was he? He was a real individual just experiencing the same things that we experience in life. The second question is, what happened to him? Well, let's read chapter 1 and verse 6. It came to pass on that day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, the angels, that Satan also came among them, and Jehovah said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Job and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. You remember Peter said in 1 Peter 5 that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is able to be in heaven and talk with God, and he's also able to be on the earth and get people to sin. He's a real individual. And Jehovah said, verse 8, unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Notice that in your Bible. Sometimes little small statements are very big. Job is serving God. For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and turns away from evil. If you have the old King James, eschews evil. We don't talk 1611. Like they did in 1611. So if you have eschew, that's to turn away from evil. Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy face. In other words, Job is serving you, God, because you're blessing him with all this stuff. And if you take it away, he'll renounce you. In other words, Satan was impugning Job's motives, right? Job, you're serving God just for what you can get out of him. So we're going to see about motives in just a minute. Why we serve God. Verse 12, and Jehovah said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Jehovah, and it fell on a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house, that there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another also and said, the fire of God, or lightning, is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made three bands and fell upon the camels and have taken them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind, we would say something like a tornado, from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So we begin to see that this normal individual like we are today, family man, man of some means, a religious man, we're going to begin to see now that things are taken away from him. The first thing that is taken away in verses 13 through 17 is his wealth. I don't think we've ever had anything taken away from us like was taken from him. And notice the rapid fire, and then another man came, and then another man came. You've heard that expression, when it rains, it pours, right? Have you ever experienced that? One bad thing followed by another bad thing followed by another bad thing. And we begin to see that his physical life is falling apart. But turn with me to verse 20. We're going to see that his spiritual life does not fall apart. And we're beginning to see, brethren, what we need to be like. There are going to be some things in life where physical things fall apart, including our own health. But our spiritual relationship with God should never fall apart. And so he loses his wealth in verses 13 through 17. He loses his family in verses 18 through 19. The house collapses on them. We're going to see that he loses his wife in just a minute. Someone who's supposed to be close to you. Someone who's supposed to be a support. Someone who's supposed to be an encourager and a cheerleader and someone to build you up. He loses someone who's very close to him, even in his wife. His spouse. But he stays faithful to God. In chapter 1 and verse 20, the text says that Job arose and rent his robe and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and quit. Right? Is that what the text says? No, it says that he fell down and worshiped. Go back to verse 5. Thus did Job continually. Today I see quitting. I see giving up. I see excuse making. I see, it's not my fault. I see blame. When I read Job and when I read James, who tells me I need to be like him, I see consistency and constancy. And so he just continues to worship. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Jehovah gave, and Jehovah hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And again, it came to pass on the day when the sons of God, the angels, came to present themselves before Jehovah, that Satan came also among them to present himself before Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered Jehovah and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Jehovah said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright, one that fears God and turns away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Recently, Seth and Lyndon and I were talking about integrity. Integrity. Psalm 26 tells us that we need to be people of integrity. When we think of the word integrity, we think of someone who's honest, for example, or someone who always tells the truth, and that is certainly a part of that. But it says here that he was a man of integrity. What kind of a man is he? He's a man of integrity in that he is holding up under these terrible situations. He's constant and consistent. Verse 4, and Satan answered Jehovah and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will renounce thee to thy face. In other words, you've taken some stuff away from Job, but it's out here on the fringe. You really get in on him close, and he will give up on you in a heartbeat. God says, okay, let's see if that happens. He's in thy hand, verse 6, only spare his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of Jehovah and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Every once in a while in my life, I'll have something like that, but it's just one little one, and it hurts to no end. Just one little old thing like that will hurt. He had them all over himself from head to toe. I don't know if we've even come close to experiencing the problems that this man experienced. I've never had my children taken away like Job did. Some have, and it's a grievous experience. I've never had boils from head to toe. I've never had my material possessions either raided or stolen or burned up. And I look at my life, and maybe we look at our lives and say, would we have been able to stay faithful like Job did? It's so bad, verse 8, that he took him a piece of potsherd, a broken piece of pottery or clay that was sharp on one edge, to scrape himself therewith, and he sat among the ashes. And if it wasn't bad enough, then verse 9, then his wife said unto him, dost thou still hold fast thine integrity? Renounce God and die. I can't imagine having a spouse tell me, just quit, give up on God and quit. Can you imagine? So in addition to losing his wealth and losing his family, we've now read in the text where he lost his physical health and his spouse's support. But he said unto her, verse 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall God receive good at the hand of God, and shall he not also receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to bemoan him and to comfort him. And when they had lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his robe and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Job answered and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night which said, there is a man child conceived. And I won't read the rest of chapter 3. It's a very dark and dismal picture where Job wishes things are so bad he wishes he was not living. And so I want to add to the list of what happened to him. In addition to losing his wealth, family, physical health, wife support, he lost his mental health. He's depressed. He's distraught. He doesn't want to live anymore. Jeremiah had one of those situations in the book of Jeremiah. Things were so bad, he said, I don't want to live anymore. I wish I hadn't even been born. He lost his mental health. And then finally, starting in chapter 4 and verse 1, when Eliphaz begins to talk and say how terrible a sinner Job is, which he wasn't, he loses his friends from chapter 4 all the way through chapter 37. So we're talking about a real man. We're talking about a man who has many things that we have that we can relate to. And when these things are taken away from him, we ask the question, the third question, and that is, why did this happen to him? The first thing that we learn from studying the book of Job is it was not because he was being punished by God for his sin. The story opens up telling us twice in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 that he's an upright man. He's following what God wants for the patriarchs. He's offering up the sacrifices for himself and his family. It's not because he sinned. That's what his friends thought. The reason that he is suffering is he's being tested by Satan for his faithfulness. It's actually the opposite. He is so faithful that God says, have you considered my servant Job? And I'm willing to allow him to be tested to see whether or not he's serving me because he really wants to, or just what he can get out of me. And we find that it's the former. He's serving God because he truly loves God, not just for what he can be given by God. And Satan is going to do the same with us. My question is, when God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" would your name be in there? Just put your name in there. Would my name be in there? If we're not living faithfully, I doubt God would say to Satan, and there's no reason to believe why there would be no heavenly meetings. I believe those heavenly meetings continue to go on to this day. Angels gather around God. Satan is able to go into the presence of God. There's nothing to preclude that to this day. And if that were going on today, January the 30th, would God say, "Have you considered my servant?" and then put your name in there? If we're not living faithfully, I doubt He would be doing that. Our name needs to be in that blank. And it can be. And so this morning I want us to consider some lessons briefly. And let's see what it means really to endure. The first lesson that we learn from Job is that we learn that we must be prepared before the storm comes. The attendance, the Bible reading, the prayers, the faithfulness, the good works, it all has to be there before the storm hits. We've experienced some things over the past couple of years. We'll experience other things, no doubt, in our lifetime when you're dealing with what evil and wicked men do. But you have to have in place the habits and the life of a faithful Christian before it comes so that you can weather that. In Florida, they go to Lowe's and Home Depot and they get the plywood before the hurricane hits and they put it up on the windows and so forth, and then they're ready to go. And that's what we need to be doing spiritually. That's what our attendance here and our Bible study and coming to Bible class and our prayers and our good works outside the building, that's what it's doing. It's building us up for those difficult times. And even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says that when we hear and do His Word, it's like a man who builds his house on the rock and he's able to weather the storm. There have been, no doubt, over the past couple of years, brethren who have become unfaithful and dropped out and quit. They're going to let this pandemic and other things cause them to do that. But we're not going to do that. We've experienced some things over the past couple of years, but I don't think it's anything close to what Job experienced. I think over the past couple of years, for me, it's mostly been inconveniences. I go to the store and there's something not on the shelf. Well, you know, little inconvenience. I mean, really, in the big picture, is it that bad? Is it boils from head to toe? Is it your family being taken away? Is it your entire wealth? No, it's been some inconveniences. I'm not meaning to disparage or put down anything that may be going on. You may view it as more than that, and that's fine, too. But the point is, we prepare before. And so what was he doing? Look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. What was Job doing before the whole thing, before the bottom fell out? What was he doing? He was right, and he was faithful, and he was worshiping, and he did that continually. That's what helped him face this. So whatever it is going to be down the road, I don't know what it is. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I don't know what it's going to be. But you being here this morning and tonight and Wednesday night and next Sunday morning and next Sunday night and next Wednesday night and every time, you know what that's doing? That's making you ready for that next storm, whatever that will be. That's what it means to endure. And it also means that we must not serve God with selfish motives. Job was just simply, he loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, as Jesus would say in Matthew 22:37. He was a sincere, unhypocritical worshiper of God. Paul talks about in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, faith unfeigned, non-hypocritical, the New American Standard says. It's just honest service to God. It's not what I can get out of God. It's not what some nefarious motive that I can get from Him. I'm just here because I love God and He has saved me and I want to serve Him. That was Satan's point. I bet Job is in it for what he can get out of it. And you know what? Satan, the fact that Satan brought that up, he knows something about people. Do you know that there are actually religious people where that is actually the case? They're serving God for what they can get out of God. Have you ever known of anybody, including members of the church? I've seen this before. It's uncomfortable to talk about, but it is true. Where you'll have individuals come, and sometimes even in the Lord's church, they're here because they need a handout. And when they don't get it, or they don't get it in the way they want it, they stop coming. I've seen that. I've witnessed that firsthand. Whether it's money, or whether it's friends, or social things, or whatever, some people come for what they can get out of it for their own personal gratification. Job did not do that, and we do not need to do that. He was able to weather this simply because of his genuine service to God. We need to learn, like Job, not to put our trust in earthly possessions. His faith was in his God, not in his possessions. And so when the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans come and take it all away and steal these things and they're burned up, they're gone, that's fine with Job because his faith is in God. And he said something that Paul said in 1 Timothy 6. Job said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." Paul says the same thing in 1 Timothy 6 with regard to covetousness. We neither brought anything into the world, neither can we take anything out. The same thing. We live in a very materialistic society, and there's nothing wrong with having material things. We need that for food, shelter, and clothing, and to get by with. But we don't need to be like the rich farmer in Luke 12, where all of his trust is in things, and he didn't get his soul right with God. Let us learn, like Job, to have our trust in God, not in earthly possessions. Let us learn, like Job, not to allow the loss of family or friends to cause our unfaithfulness. I love my children, but I have to love God and Jesus more. I love my kids, and I know you love your kids, and I love my grandkids, but I have to love God and Jesus more. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 that we are to love Him more than father or mother or brother or sister or son or daughter. And Job proved that. We have to love truth, the Bible truth, more than family or friends. We have to serve God more than family or friends. But often in today's world, it's family and friends over truth and over God. You see, we're learning what it means to endure more than just boils, but some other kinds of things are going on here. And Job, as a real person, is telling us how we need to live in today's world. We need to learn, like Job did, that we must never charge God with acting foolishly. Turn with me to chapter 1 again and verse 22. Chapter 1, 22. When things happen in life, we need to be very, very careful that we start telling God, "You didn't do this one right. You didn't know what you were doing with this one." Job did not do that. And as tempting as it is, we need to be careful not to do that. In all of this, Job sinned not, now look at it, nor charged God foolishly, literally, attributed folly to God. God is not up in heaven just whimsically doing stuff with Satan and other things, and then you're the bad beneficiary of it. He does not do that. But things like that have happened over the past couple of years, that actually has caused some people to do that. And I know of at least one case where that happened, where somebody is saying, why, and then you start going down that road and you end up attributing folly to God, or that God, you attribute something to God where He didn't know what He was doing. Or He shouldn't have done that. And we really have to resist that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11, and let's just be reminded of who it is that sits on that throne in heaven. And this includes every decision that He has ever made from beginning to end, including the decision that He made with Satan and Job. What is it coming from? Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." It is so deep, you might think you've got it figured out, and you don't, and I don't. Job's friends certainly thought they had it figured out. They had this simplistic little approach that, well, obviously Job is suffering because he's a sinner. Oh no, it's much deeper than that. Do you remember in John chapter 9 when the disciples said about the blind man, "Lord, who sinned? This man or his parents?" They had this simplistic little approach that, well, that's what caused it. And Jesus said it was neither one. There's other reasons why this man was born blind. He says, so that God may work the works, work miracles. There's other reasons. But we have it all figured out. Something happened to somebody in the pandemic. You know, well, I got it all figured out. You don't know that. There is a depth of wisdom and knowledge of God that Paul says, "How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who have been His counselor? Or who have first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, origin, through Him, agency, and unto Him, goal, are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." One thing Job didn't do was, well, I got it all figured out and God was doing something He shouldn't have done with Satan. Let us neither do the same today when we face the various things that we face. We need to learn that we must not allow health problems to become an excuse for spiritual laziness. And the older I get and the older you get, no doubt we face various health issues. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 tells us that we're all getting older and we have eyesight and ear problems and teeth problems. And Ecclesiastes 12 mentions all those different kind of body parts, and we face those kinds of things. But let that not be an excuse for spiritual laziness, or even worse, unfaithfulness. Didn't Paul have a thorn in the flesh? Yeah. He had some physical problem we don't know the details of. Was he a quitter? No. Did he give up? Was he whining, complaining? Did he quit? Did he say, I'm just not going to do it? He prayed over and over again. The Lord decided not to take it away. So Paul said, okay, I'll just keep serving faithfully. And so as we face these kinds of physical things in our life, let's not let them be excuses for spiritual laziness or unfaithfulness. But like Job, carry on all the way through to the end. I mentioned earlier, I've had a little, you know, you'll have a little bump here or there, a little type of boil. Just one little thing will just make you hurt to no end. He had it from head to toe. And yet kept being faithful to God. We might need to slow down a little bit as we get older. We might need to take a little more time. We might need to do this or that, but we're going to stay faithful in serving the Lord. We must serve God in prosperity and in adversity. When The story opens up. Job is in prosperity. After a little while, when Satan gets a hold of it, he's in adversity. But Job is constant and consistent. Paul said, I know how to abound. Things are going great, and I know how to be abased. In all things, I've learned the secret of contentment. Just an even keel. So as we go through life and things are going great, we're going to be faithful as we go through life. Yeah, there'll be that child challenge. There'll be that marriage challenge. There'll be that work challenge. There'll be that school challenge. There'll be this and there'll be that, but we're just going to be even keel, faithful all the way through. Not hot and cold. Not sometimes here, sometimes not here. Not sometimes faithful, sometimes unfaithful. We're just going to be consistent. And that's what we learned from Job. In fact, it's Job's wife that suggested what many people do today, and that is be a quitter. Be a quitter. I bet something tells me that Job's wife was pro-God while things were going great. Something tells me she was probably pro-God. But look at all this stuff he's taken away from us. Just quit. And Job said, nope. I'm not going to do it. In fact, he said concerning her the same thing that we read about God. Notice again in chapter 2 and verse 10, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Folly. It's folly. And he was going to take a different track. We must learn to recognize that we are small and under God's sovereign hand. I want you to come with me now to the end of the book of Job. I want you to come with me to the end of the book of Job where God speaks to Job. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. God had spoken to Job for two chapters about how that I'm in control of all the animals. I'm in control of the weather. I'm in control of the planets and the stars. He even pulls out two big old animals, the behemoth and the leviathan. I'm in control of all of these things. And look at what happens in Job chapter 40 and verse 1. Moreover, Jehovah answered Job and said, shall he that cavilleth or argue contend with the Almighty? He that argueth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered Jehovah and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer thee? Underscore that in your Bible. God, you are big and I'm small. I may not understand everything, and I have had to undergo these boils and these different kinds of things, but you are in charge. I lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer yea twice, but I will proceed no further. I'm going to shut up and just realize that I'm small in your sight. That is so helpful in us dealing with things in life, that God is on the throne. And when the Christians were persecuted at the end of the first century, and John writes to them in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, he opens up with God on a throne, God Almighty sitting on a throne. And we need to remember that. We're small in His sight, and He knows what is best for us, even though it may involve some difficult things from time to time. And then last of all, and we'll close with this point, turn with me to Job chapter 42 and verse 1. Job chapter 42 and verse 1. Let us be willing to confess that we do not know better than God. A lot of times we ask why. A lot of times we have to deal with very difficult things in life. But we understand that God knows what is best for us. Job 42:1, then Job answered Jehovah and said, I know that thou can do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not. He's talking about the middle section of the book where Job said a few things from time to time about God. You know, I'm your target practice and you're trying to hurt me. He said some things that he realizes now he shouldn't have said. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In other words, I realize that I don't know better than you. Your purposes are all wise. Paul says, the only wise God, Romans 16:27. And that's our lesson this morning. Job is a real individual, just like you and me. And we can go out and live like him. We need to learn these lessons. And when we learn them, those lessons about motives and possessions and family and friends and charging God and all of these things, when we learn how to handle that the best way like Job did, we can be faithful and we can be right with him even in difficult times. There may be someone here this morning that needs to begin that right relationship with God. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement, come and be baptized into Christ. There may be an erring child of God that needs to come back and be more faithful. We can help you with that as well. But as we face difficult things in life, let's face them the way Job did. And James says that we'll be blessed if we will. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?